All righty. I'm going to be preaching at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when I'm done, don't get excited and leave. Service isn't over. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And we'll save the good preaching for later. And just let the junior varsity start off. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." It's interesting. If salvation had to do with baptism, God would have sent Paul to baptize. Amen. "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So obviously the gospel is not baptism, okay? That's just one of the many things that show it in the Bible. "God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." The title of the message tonight is preaching. I want to talk about preaching tonight. I want to talk about the importance of it and the preeminence of preaching in the Scripture and how important it is. We're gonna teach out of this passage here at several points, but I want you to go back to the book of Matthew, where you keep your finger here, if you have your Bibles, or listen along as we read Matthew chapter 4. First thing I want to say is preaching is different than teaching in the Bible. Preaching is different than teaching, and they are not the same thing. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Now notice he does both. He teaches in the synagogues and he preaches all around the gospel of the kingdom. And so he's teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. So teaching and preaching are separated here in what Jesus is doing. Now let's look at chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 35. "And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." And so he's doing that still. He's teaching in the synagogues and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 11. "It came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." So we can all see that teaching and preaching are two different things. Okay, and that's very true. The word for these two things are two different words in the Greek. The word preaching comes from the word karoso, and that means to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth. So a public crier, we don't understand this very much. We have radios and TVs. But if the king had an announcement, he would say, "Okay, go down to the street and announce every man over 18 and under 30 is to go to the castle, and you're to be ready and get your armor because you're going to go to war." That's whatever the thing was. The public heralder would be the person with a loud voice who would stand up there and make a public pronouncement. And it's to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth. That's preaching. Teaching is the Greek word didasko, which means to teach. That's what it means. It means to teach somebody something, to learn, to help someone, to learn somebody something. I'm going to learn you something. But it's to teach somebody something where they'll learn things, and that's what teaching is. Nothing wrong with teaching. Teaching's wonderful. Jesus did both. They're both all over the Bible. But there is something called preaching that is very important in the Bible, and God used a different word for it, and he does it also. If I could simplify it, preaching, what it is teaching on fire. Preaching is teaching lit on fire, with fire in it, with intensity, with passion. It is crying, it's louder, it's more intense. It is preaching, It's not just teaching somebody something, but it's imploring. It's making announcements. It's pronouncing judgment. It's fighting back sin. It's bringing glory to God. It's telling somebody that the devil's been lying to them and that God loves them. Now, there's a way to teach all that, but preaching is that teaching that's on fire and impassioned and spirit-filled and anointed and intensity and demanding. And that's what preaching is. It's a little bit different. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 58. Jesus is telling, I'm not going to take you all the times where somebody's told how to preach, but here's where Isaiah is told how to preach by God. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. He's trying to get their attention, God says. Now, he says another spot, stomp your feet. He does a bunch of things. He says howl, a bunch of different things where he tells people how to preach when they're preaching. He does it. He says, lift up your voice. Do not spare. Sound like a trumpet. Get their attention. Preach to them. And so he tells them to do that. Listen, you could go and say, okay, I'm going to teach you Israel. God is going to judge you. You are being destroyed because you've done wrong. Here is iniquity. The Bible says, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. You can do that. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. But that's not what God wanted right then. God wanted an alarm sounding. Okay, God wanted the intense, God wanted them to get it. Hey, this is serious, and preach and scream and yell and let them in and give them and preach at them. And that's what they had there. And so preaching with passion and preaching the way they do that. Let me read to you a little bit. I'm reading a great book. It's called The History of American Revivals. Fantastic book. And I'm going to read to you about revival preaching. When this is what was happening when great revivals were happening. I just want to read you a little bit about when they talk, because they talk specifically, they have people in the 1700s and 1800s writing about what the preachers preached like during these times of great revival. And in the spring of 1740, the Spirit poured out in his congregation in Londonderry in an eminent manner. He had prepared the way for it during the previous winter by most searching preaching of the nature of sin, the breadth of divine law, and the necessity of conversion. Many were brought into great distress of soul. Quote, some burst out with audible noise in a bitter crying. During the whole summer, every sermon produced wonderful impressions upon the hearers. The effect of those impressions were that he thus describes, quote, several would be overcome in fainting, others sobbing, hardly able to contain, others crying in a most dolorous manner, many others more silently weeping and solemn concerning the appearance and the countenance of many others. And so they are preaching and preaching hard, and people are coming to a conviction for their sin during the service. Just another excerpts. This is the manner of his speech. The manner of it was a gospel of Christ in its simplicity and power. The preaching was at once severe with unsparing energy of truth and gentle under the moving of the great love for souls. He spoke to the conscience, awakening the sense of sin and guilt against the holy God. He spoke to the heart, holding up an ever new light, the changelessness of God. He preached the old doctrine of grace, and it was emphatically the old story. And finally, he was unselfish, consecrated holy man. He lived for God with a purpose absolutely undivided. And then, let's see, maybe one more here. And let's see. Oh, let me find what I want to find. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Let me find my notes here. Page... got a bunch of notes in my book, and I got to find which ones I'm looking for. What is the general tone of preaching in New England at this time? It may somewhat explain the depth of conviction of sin. Dr. Hyde of Lee, Massachusetts, in whose church there was a great and precious work of grace, thus gives the substance of his preaching. The holiness and immutability of God, the pure the purity and perfection of his law. The entire depravity of the heart consists in involuntary opposition to God and holiness. The fullness of the all sufficiency of the atonement made by Christ. The freeness of the offer of pardon made on to all on condition of repentance. The necessity of change of heart by the Holy Spirit arising from a deep-rooted depravity of man, which no created arm could remove. And the utter inexcusableness of sinners in rejecting the kind overtures of mercies as they acted freely and voluntarily in doing it, and the duty and reasonableness of immediate submission to God. These were some of the truths which appeared to own and which God appeared to own and bless, in which through the agency of the Spirit were made quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's preaching. Preaching is with that intensity, the directness, and those things. Just a few thoughts. I want to have just a few points here on preaching. Back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Now, we teach. Teaching's good. I teach in Sunday school. I'm very teachy. I'm more of a teacher than preacher. But there are times to teach, and there's times to preach. I mean, understand that. First, I want to say preach the gospel. Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with man's wisdom. To preach the gospel. Verse 23 says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks Greeks foolishness. So he says, we preach the gospel. That's very important. All over the Bible, when it talks about soul winning is much the time, the majority of the time, talked about preaching the gospel, not teaching the gospel. Okay? Soul winning is called preaching, most often, by far. It just says twice, preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. And well-known verses, some of these, but Mark 16 and verse 15, and it says... It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15, great verses, and I'll read those to you, talking about winning folks to Christ. For with the heart, Romans 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great joy. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God. We know that verse, but then in verse 15 he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. And he was always ready to preach the gospel. And many verses on this. I'm going to read you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Again, soul winning is preaching the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God and turned from idols to serve the living God. I got the wrong verse there. It's probably 2 Thessalonians 1, 9. So the one verse I'm looking at. So preaching the gospel. Why do you say that? Why is giving the gospel preaching? Because there should be a passion when you're talking to someone about their soul. Think about it. You are standing between the living and the dead. An eternal soul going to heaven or hell. Sometimes you think, why don't they believe us? It's like, if I walked up and said, you know, your coat is on fire. You wouldn't believe me that your coat was on fire, okay? You know, my unusual world, however weird things happen to me, I'm driving down I-5 today, and there's a car on fire next to me driving down the road. I mean, it's on fire. And, you know, I always see these weird things, and there it is. And I'm thinking, first of all, why is everybody going so slow? And so there I come up, and here's this car, has something dragging under the car, and it is flames coming up the side of the car, right, on the driver's side. I mean, it's on fire, driving on the road. And so I tried to get their attention. Some people aren't very smart, and apparently, because they're still driving. And so I'm honking and pointing them to pull over, and I finally gave up and drove down the road and called the fire department. I don't know, I had to get home. Listen, if I pull up beside him and said, excuse me, Can you roll down the window? Hey, your car's on, there's flames underneath. Okay, see you later. They're not going to think it's real serious, okay? Preaching the gospel is your fighting Satan's lies and the darkness Satan's put in them. It is preaching, and it's something we should do is preach the gospel. Preach the gospel like you believe it. The gospel of salvation. Number one, preach the gospel. Number two, preaching is God's powerful tool. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read several verses here again in this passage. For the preaching of the gospel, verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Look at that. For people who aren't saved, preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But us who believe, we love preaching. Usually you can tell how what someone's doing spiritually by how do they respond to preaching. If they're afraid of someone preaching, then they have an issue. Those who believe it's the power of God, they love it. It's God's chosen tool. I always know people who are doing great spiritually, you say, "Preach, Pastor, man, we love when you preach hard." And then there's people who say, "Oh, you know what? You shouldn't be judgmental. You should just tell people nice things and make them feel good about themselves." Except for this, read Bible sermons. They were not building self-esteem in people. They were ripping faces off, stomping on toes. They were going to town. They make Bible preaching makes me look like a compromising wimp. I mean, they let them have it. We'll read a couple passages of preaching in the Bible. Preach like you believe it. Preaching is God's powerful tool. Titus says this. It's God's chosen tool, and it's very powerful. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our Savior, God our Savior. But God has manifested his word through preaching, it says. That same word, we see the word preaching, caroso. Listen, it's preaching. I was visiting a missionary on the field one time, and great soul winner. I said, "How'd you get saved?" And he told me, "You know, it's the craziest story." He says, "That's a Jehovah's Witness." And he said, a friend invited me to his service, and he said they have an evangelist in town, an evangelist named Al Lacey, great preacher. And Al Lacey was doing a service in his church, and I went there the first night, and the first night he preached on hell. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell. And he couldn't believe it. And he sat through the whole series. He just preached and said people are going to burn forever and preached on hell. And he says he just preached so hard. And he said, "I went back the second night." And the second night he preached on hell. And he said, "I couldn't believe it." And I listened to that preaching. I can't believe this guy's screaming, yelling, people are going to burn in hell forever. And he came back the third night. The third night he preached on hell. He preached 5 nights in a row on hell. And on the 5th night, this Jehovah's Witness got saved. And became a missionary preaching the gospel. Listen, preaching is powerful. Preaching changes lives. Now, people get mad. They'll leave. They won't take it. They don't. And preaching in churches is not very common anymore. But you know what? It's still God's way of changing lives. That's what he says right there. Unto us believe, hey, we like preaching. He says that's Christ's way, and he likes that. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 3, he says that's God's powerful tool. It's very powerful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, chapter 2 and verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. You know what? His preaching was powerful. He preached with power. It was anointed by God. Now, he wasn't a very good preacher, but he preached with power, and it changed their lives because preaching's powerful, and that's what we should have. Number three, preach the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:12. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Let me tell you, the preaching is not just screaming and yelling some crazy message. It's saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It's preaching the Bible. Preach the word. There's many of the passages, Acts chapter 11, verse 9, and other ones we won't turn to. Preach the word. You preach what God tells you to preach. You say what God tells you to say. I'm going to read you out of Jonah and Jonah chapter 1. I'm sorry, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2. God says this, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." He says, Jonah, you go preach, and you preach what I tell you to preach. And Jonah did, and the whole city repented and got right with God. I want to say this. This is just a fact. It's so true. I found preaching is God's way. If they won't listen to preaching in the Bible, if you say it nice, they won't change either. They'll just like you why they don't change. That's the only difference. And they might not know how important it is. I'm not saying you walk up to everybody, you know, you walk up to your coworker and say, "Let me tell you something, brother." That's not what you do at work. You don't have to do that. But, you know, in churches, preaching, in soul winning, you preach. You let them have it. You don't have to scream and yell, but you be intense. You be passionate. You're taking the words of God and find a church that preaches. That preaches. Church is not around a bunch of people sitting around a table discussing. That's not what they did in the Bible. I'm not saying that's sinful or wicked or anything else, but you need to have some preaching sometimes. Let them get beat, stomped, thrown around, beat up, rubbing alcohol poured all over you, and you get done at the preaching and say, "Man, that was awesome. I needed that because I was wicked this week." That's okay. That's okay. It's good for you. It fixes you. A little meat tenderizing, just some tough meat, and we need that sometimes. Preaching is God's way, and preach the Bible. Preach God's messages. Next, the Bible is full of preachers. The Bible, let's turn to the book of Luke. I thought, man, I'd love to read this sermon. I'd love to read what this guy preached. I don't have time. Luke chapter 4. Again, one of the guys might get up tonight and he's just teaching. And that's great. Teaching's important and biblical, and there's a time to teach. And the Bible uses the word teach and says teach. And many times I'll just teach. But there, I want you to understand, preaching is important. Preaching is important. Jesus preached. Look how the power of preaching was going to influence his ministry. Luke 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight, to set the liberty in their bruise, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said, "The Spirit of God is upon me," three times here, to preach, to set people free. To preach, to set people free. And that's what he does. John the Baptist was a preacher, it says, and he preached a kingdom of God, and he preached repent. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said, "I was ordained a preacher," and he read many verses where Paul was a preacher and preaching the word. Noah was a preacher. In 2 Peter chapter 2, during that time when he's building a ship, he was preaching, trying to get people saved and get people to repent. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Noah was a preacher. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, is called Solomon. He was called the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. Let me show you some just brief examples of preaching in the Bible. Book of Acts chapter 2. "I'm not saying preaching has to be mean to offend people on purpose, but it's got to be strong and passionate." Wesley said it this way. Somebody asked him one day in one of the dead churches, because there was dead churches everywhere, and Wesley and Whitfield, they had to be outdoors because they couldn't hold the crowds and because they wouldn't let them into the churches. And they said, "How do you get so many people to come hear you, Wesley?" And he says, "I light myself on fire and people come to watch me burn." That's what he said about his preaching. He said, "They're tired that you're dead, dry stuff. Nobody wants to come hear that. They want to watch somebody on fire for God and with passion." In Acts chapter 2, we see Peter preaching, and he points a finger. It makes us uncomfortable. It points a finger. It demands a decision. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart. Not, they felt so good about themselves. They were pricked to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts chapter 7, Stephen's preaching. In verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Boy, they're pointing fingers. It's hot preaching. When I was a young Christian, I loved going to church and hear my pastor preach, but it wasn't enough for me. And so my preacher, he used to collect cassette tapes of preaching, and he just bought them by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And there was a closet in the church that was full of these great sermons. And we were always so busy getting in trouble, and we started serving the Lord, and we just needed to do something. And so we'd go to the church, and don't tell anybody this, we would break into the church and go and sit and listen to preaching for hours. Don't tell the pastor. We would listen and listen. And hour after hour, we'd listen on Thou Shall Not Break and Enter. And we'd listen to the preaching hour after hour after hour because we loved. And eventually the pastor just said, I'm going to give you guys keys. And we would love it because we love preaching. Any chance we got to hear good Bible preaching. And by the way, you got to be careful. Good Bible preaching. Amen. Good Bible preaching. It's not something that's right on doctrinally, something that's not in cuckoo land, something that's solid doctrinally and fine preaching. Now, never criticize someone who gets up there and teach, because I'm going to get up there and teach sometimes. I'm teachy. I know that. I'm not a big screamer and yeller and all that stuff all the time, but sometimes we preach hard. But I want to say that there's preaching and there's teaching, but remember how important preaching is, and do not get offended. It's something that God ordained. It's something God ordained. I told a story. I went to pastor school one year, 6,000-7,000 people from around the nation at that pastor's conference. And the pastor, the guy who runs it for the house, he said, I need a young pastor. And that was back then, I was a young pastor. And you know me, I like to hide. I don't like to be known by anybody. I just like to sit there and be hidden and nobody notice me. But the knuckleheads with me, which Brother Roman White, for one, and others, said, Brother Byram, right here, Brother Byram. He's like, all right, who are you guys calling? Who? You? Yeah, come up here, son. Get up here. Well, I'm doing nothing but quietly sitting there minding my own business, except for I sat with knuckleheads. Don't sit with knuckleheads. And so there they pull me up, and he says, all right, son, grab a chair. And he puts me in the middle aisle right here, and 6,000 people right down in front of me, right down below, right down below the pulpit. And he says, I was out preaching. I had a young pastor, and he came up and said, Brother Hiles, pray that God will give me your wisdom. And he says, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You know how many years I had to suffer to get that wisdom? How many years? And so he says, so I'm going to talk to you like you're that young preacher. And he preaches for 40 minutes at me. Wow. In front of 6,000 people. I was sitting right down there in front of him, 6,000 people, all watching him yell at me. What do you think you're doing, son? How can you ask me to give you my wisdom? I suffered. I wept. I went through tears. How dare you? It wasn't even me. I wasn't even the guy. I didn't even do it. And for 45 minutes, he screamed and yelled at me. Listen, if I wasn't going to get offended there, I was never going to get offended. Listen. We're so hypersensitive nowadays and afraid to get something. You shouldn't tell me. Don't judge me. That's what we are nowadays. Listen, great peace of those which of thy law, nothing shall offend them. If you're being a bum or being mean or being nasty or stealing or lying or cussing or being bitter, and somebody ought to get up and say, knock it off, that's wicked. You ought to say, you know what, you're right. No, don't judge me. It's preaching. Preaching's good. Preaching's a good thing. And you know what? Sometimes I get my toes. Hey, sometimes I step my own toes. And I'm up here preaching, and I'm preaching on me. It's okay. I need it sometimes. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. Sinners need to be told, knock it off. And sometimes, it just needs the truth taught to you. But I want to say, love preaching. Amen. And realize it's biblical. And come to church all the time so you can hear preaching. And it's a good thing. Preaching is preeminent in the Bible. And Jesus never judged anybody. Oh, like when he said, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That sounds like preaching to me. Yeah, Jesus said that. Okay, preaching's good. Preaching's good. All right, we're going to go ahead and bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach on preaching. Lord, it's a wonderful thing. And we love preaching. And we understand that it's a good thing. And help us to love it and help us to listen to it. Help us be able to take it. And help us to take preaching the gospel around the world. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that teaches us about the importance of this. And help us to have a fire for you and burn in our heart and for souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing another song at this time.